Listeners.
Love Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome again. You're with Reverend Harris. Reverend Harris, Dr. Harris, and Dr. Gene Kennedy with Real Talk with the number one doctors. Dr. Harris on the West Coast in the San Joaquin Valley, Fresno, better known as Mississippi Fresno, and Dr. Gene Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia. We are back again on the air. It is December the 10th, 2015 at 8 o'clock p.m., and we are going live. We're coming right at you. We're going to do it moving, keep it moving. We're going to keep it real with you tonight. We have a hot show for you tonight. An unfortunate situation that has happened in our community to one of our families here that used to be in California but now has relocated to Florida. And so we are happy to have them on the show, and as well as the daughter, and as well as another good brother, I believe, is from San Diego. They will be coming in to kind of talk about what perspective they're going to be talking about the show. Dr. Kennedy, we just want to welcome you to your show, Real Talk with the Number One Doctors. We know that you were here in California for about a month, and you somehow snuck back to Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know how I allowed that to happen, but you snuck out of here very quickly, and so we're just glad that you visit us here. You did preach my church, and I didn't know that you could sing, but now since I know you can sing, when you come back in March, you'll be preaching again from the rostrum. So we're just happy to have you, Dr. Kennedy. Welcome to Real Talk, your show, Dr. Kennedy, Real Talk with the Number One Doctor.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. It is wonderful to be on the air again. And, yes, I am back in Atlanta visiting, underline the word visiting, and with their new laws that they have here on residency and visiting, I guess every 29 days I'll be here, and then I'll just have to go across the border like everybody else does and come back in. This is ridiculous. We're going to fight those laws, but that's for another show. But we are very, very pleased tonight to have the show. To make my acquaintance over the air with our guest. It is an exciting show. It is a sad show, but it is an exciting, powerful show. It is a show that will let us know that when you are down and out, as it were, when you feel like you have lost hope, when you feel like the bottom of your life has fallen through, you find the courage to stand up and face injustice in the face, and you will say, enough is enough. I want answers, and I will not stop until I get answers. And so tonight, we're going to have a family share their situation, share how they their lives has totally changed for them upon the news of their son, their brother, their nephew, this person that is so precious to this family. And to see how the situation has taken place. And I am just happy to be part of the co-host tonight. We're going to learn something tonight, all of us. I want to encourage you, the listening audience, to please go to the Facebook, our Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, Real Talk with the Number One Doctors, Real Talk with the, and then the character one, DRS, Real Talk with the One Doctors. Go to that Facebook and look at the lengthy layout that we've put there, explaining in details what happened. And there is also a petition that is online, and the website for the petition is also on our Facebook. We want you to please sign up that petition, get that petition going in your communities. We're trying to change laws. You know, that's the problem that seems to happen with us as people of color. And let me be more specific. Us black folks, we need to start writing some laws. We need to start writing some laws. We need to start writing some laws. And I love the proactiveness of this family that is trying to change the law. The law is ours as well. And we have to look at the law and change some of the injustices that have been done to us. And so there is a petition that they want you to sign that will change the laws, that will help parents who are receiving word of a loved one, that it's a timely information that they get, especially for certain ages of our loved ones, our children. And so we're going to have more details about that as we go along. So again, go look at the petition. Please sign that petition and encourage this law to take place. If something happens to my child, to your child, we don't want to wait for weeks and weeks to suddenly get to find out what the information is. We want that information right away. We're entitled to that information. It is ours. And if we don't have laws to protect those rights, then we will write laws and get that initiative going so that we get timely information about the loss of our loved ones. After all, the military does it. We need to have that done in the civilian world as well. A police department should not have to sit on information. The coroner's office should not have to sit on information. The FBI should not have to sit on information. The CIA should not have to sit on information. And yes, Homeland Security should not have to sit on information and give it to us when they're good and ready. We should get that information on a timely basis, and this petition will begin that process. And so we're pleased tonight. I can hear my guests. They're all on the line now. And so, Brother Harris, let me turn back over to you, and let's get the show on the road.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Kennedy. We once again want to welcome you to Real Talk with the number one doctors. I am out of Fresno, California, and Dr. Gene Kennedy is out of Atlanta, Georgia, live right now on the ground. And we do have family here in Florida who is on the line. And also we have family who is here from Las Vegas that's on the line, who is a new listener to our show, and as well as we have a brother from San Diego. And if you look at what I just said, the technology that we have today is so powerful that will connect all five of us right now, globally right now. We have listening those from South Africa, Nigeria, Jamaica, all over the world who is tuning in to the show right now. And we just want you to kick back and relax and kind of just tune in to the topic tonight. You know, we do a lot of heavy lifting, me and myself and Dr. Gene Kennedy. We do speak truth to power. We do not run away from trouble. We run to it. And that's just our motto. We educate, motivate, energize, organize, and mobilize to take our community to a higher level. And so this is the purpose that this radio broadcast we have, is to give those who feel they may not have a voice a voice, those who may not have hope to give them hope, those who may feel voiceless to give them a voice. And so that's where we come in as a radio show, to come in and to give that other edge, that other side. There's always two sides to a story. But in America, you always hear the one side. And so we are giving the other side of the story. We are seeking justice. There is a petition. The website is on the board here. Please visit that website, and also a Facebook. There's also rotating pictures of the deceased, of the family here. And so we just want to go into the show tonight. Do not want to take no more time. We're going to go ahead and introduce the mother, who I have met not in person, but I have met her through the phone, and our spirits have connected. And so I had a chance to speak to her daughter briefly on the phone, and our spirits have connected. And so this is what this is about, is connecting the spirits. Bob Marley always tells us, one love for one people. And so we just want to go ahead and go into the show. Sister Patricia, we want to welcome you to Real Talk with the number one doctors. I know that this is something that you have to relive each and every day. And I know as a mother, no mother here that I know would want to carry a child for 9 months and to find out that they are deceased and there's no answers. Kind of walk us through, introduce yourself to us, our listening audience around the world. And walk us through this here. Take your time. Don't feel that you rushed. If we have to take another night, two nights, three nights, a whole week, a whole month, we will get through this, because we want you to feel comfortable and your family to feel comfortable that you have been heard. And that's our job tonight, is to make sure that you're heard. Sister Patricia, welcome to Real Talk with the number one doctor.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Dr. Kennedy. Thank you, Dr. Harris, Reverend Harris. I thank God for being here on this show and having this opportunity. Yes, my son was murdered 18 years ago, and we're still fighting to find out what happened to him. We're getting pieces here and pieces there that don't make sense. They said that it was accidental drowning because he couldn't swim. So my struggle went in because we knew he could swim because he taught his sisters how to swim, and he was teaching me how to float or however to get through the water. And my passion lies within the people that have to go through this again. Every struggle, going through the police, going through the coroners, getting pushed away, getting information that didn't make sense, the body just not floating in the water, the clothes not floating in the water, the bruises on him, all the stuff that did not make sense. Then I find out that they have a person that says, Jose Jimenez stated they, you know, well, I killed your son because the black boy, because he got smart, and tells how he pulled him under the water. And, you know, it's all so many different stories. The lady across the street heard a gunshot. She saw him carrying a body into the water. In this time, the time frame, the 15-minute time frame that she was calling the police, she seen the police come on. That's the same time that he was pronounced dead. His time of death is at the same time of all of this. So we have so many different stories. So we really, at this time, do not know what happened to my son. So that's the search for justice. So in that process, I was like, they cannot, even though you have a child and you birth him and he passes away, does not give you all the property rights over my child. That was my thing, that he's still mine. He might be buried. He might be gone with Jesus, but he loved the Lord. He went to church. Oh, my God, my son loved the Lord. So he had got his driver's license. We was planning for his graduation. And in the process of grieving, I went under his bed, and I found a shoebox. And so he was able to get his tassel and hat. You know, he went through some struggles, his bad time in life, but in the end, he gave his life to God, and he was on the right path. And so with that, I promised him that because you graduated, I will never stop fighting for justice. And because the love and the help that he had for his family gives me the strength to help others. And that's what this law is about. It's called Curtis Law, and it's for children 18 and under in a homicide investigation to help the families with justice and closure by changing state and federal laws, and they both have to be changed. The public record, and that's if your child is in a homicide investigation, they will not just call and tell you, oh, your child was murdered, this is happening, and the whole investigation is kept from you, and you left calling the investigator, calling the coroner, trying to find out. No, this will force them within 30 days to call the family, foster parent, grandparent, whoever had guardianship over that child at the time of death, they must call. And that includes the FBI, the police, the coroner, lifeguard, fireman, anyone that had the paramedics, any record concerning your child or property, you is to be notified. We have DNA now. The technology on homicide investigations is just, we in 2015. So why can't we have more stuff? Why can't we know? This has to change. It has to. So that's what this law is for. And I want to introduce right now my daughter, Shanika Williamson, that has been my hero, my strength, all the way through this. She's just been there. Shanika?
Yes.
Well, hello, Shanika. How are you today? Welcome to our show. We've heard your mother's perspective, very serious matter here. We would like for you to, someone who has been very connected to this story, tell us a little bit how you feel about what's going on.
Well, I just feel, I hate to see my mom going through this every day, but to her, it's a blessing. It's a blessing, and I know this is for so many children that's unimaginable. It's hard to fathom how many children is in this position around the world. So it's bittersweet because it's my brother and I think of him every single day, and my son's named after him, and it's like, but I'm so proud of my mom because she has this fight in her that she's just not going to give up. And I think everybody needs somebody like that. I'm just so proud of her. She's doing so much. And she's, you know, I got her back to the fullest. We're trying to get this law passed so it can help so many other families with closure for the children. This is all about the children. So it's very important. And I'm just ready to take off with it.
Thank you, Shanika.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, thank you. We also have, I was finally looking for all the paperwork to get back together because I had misplaced some of it. So I wrote to the FBI, and I took them a booklet, so they wouldn't give me the report that they had concerning my son. But they did send me back the booklet of all the paperwork that I had gave them, proving to them that none of this sounds right. This is just way too unmanageable. I mean, this happened at this time, that happened at this time. It just don't add up. So they sent me the folder back, and I put it under my mattress, and I was just praying, Lord, I really need to give this to somebody, because after fighting the justice part of Curtis for 20 years and still getting no answers, I still went up to the United States Justice Department, the head man, and he said that, well, under the Federal Information Act, we can't tell you, and ain't nothing you could do. So they turned me over to their attorney, and the attorney said, well, you're going to just have to sue us. So I'm like, after 20 years of not knowing about my son, and y'all know that he was murdered, you want to tell me after 20 years that I need a lawyer to sue the United States Justice Department to find out what happened to my child? So it just devastated me. So I just prayed on it. And then I was watching the Justice Channel, and I came across, they was telling about the story about another homicide and how the family wasn't liking how the police was saying. They just knew what happened to that family member, and they fought it. So this is the time I called Gene, and Gene's service, he's going to help me get this justice part of Curtis. So, Gene.
Yeah, my name is Gene Cervantes. I'm a victim advocate and consultant with an organization based in San Rafael, California, Marin County, called Citizens Against Homicide. Our founder is the lady Patricia was talking about, and she single-handedly took the San Jose police detectives by their hand and said, we need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. And invariably, they signed, they solved the murder of her aunt. My family, I lost my cousin who was raised by my mother in our home, so she was like a sister, and her husband in a double murder in Fresno County, in the city of Fresno, in July of 2005, and it was something that will continue to be heavy burden on my heart and soul for the rest of my life. I got involved. Our motto is don't give up on finding justice, finding the truth. And when Patricia reached out to our organization, I was appalled at some of the information she was giving me about law enforcement, their reluctance to help. When you read every day on the side of a patrol car, protect and serve. Well, they're doing a very poor job of serving, particularly those cases that are what I like to call borderline cases. They could be homicide, they could be accidental, they could be natural causes, but nonetheless, it's a violent crime, And drowning certainly is a violent crime. And when somebody comes forward and confesses and the investigators or detectives refuse to make an arrest or even pursue the investigation further to verify his confession, or to validate it, I'm sorry, then there's something wrong with the system. When the autopsy performed finds salt water or in Curtis's lungs and says, oh, he drowned. Everybody drops the ball and takes the easy way out and says, case closed. Well, that's not the case. You know, there are other factors that need to be taken into consideration, and that's what I told Patricia. I said, I need to look at all the information you have, and then we'll pursue those persons that may be in a position to reopen an investigation. This certainly shouts out Curtis's death, I should say, shouts out for justice and shouts out that reinvestigate my murder. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them as I go through here. The healing process, like Dr. Harris says, ends with the anger and that we have about losing our loved ones. We go through denial. Oh, no, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife. No, they weren't murdered. Then we go through another stage and, well, I guess my loved one is gone. Then there's grief. Then we go on to trying to accept it. And then we get mad and say, I want it solved. I want answers. And that's where we are in our organization. We want people who've gone through the process of grieving and says, I am angry now. I am mad. I want answers. And Dr. Harris hit the nail right on the head when she says, that's when we have to be proactive. That's when we need to challenge the laws that do not coincide with the law-abiding citizens. We can no longer sit back and take a neutral stand and say, well, justice will be served. Justice will be served if everybody stands up against the injustice. And oftentimes, I hope it's not too often, but oftentimes it is the injustice imposed on us by our own law enforcement agencies that were sworn to protect us and serve us. The district attorneys are our attorney, our victims, all the victims' attorney, and the families of victims. But sometimes the district attorneys accept the notion that medical examiner is a doctor. He can't be wrong. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They are often wrong. Autopsies are the voice of the dead, and they need to start listening to those voices. And with that, I'll
just say, unfortunately, the coroner was fired, and now
yes, I know, for falsifying.
He got away with all of that he did to everybody.
And that says volumes, Patricia. You know, that says volumes. It says reinvestigate. I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Reinvestigate. We have a coroner who was fired for lying on and falsifying death certificates. What else has he done? So, and people statements need to be verified, particularly that arrest, that confession of the individual who came forward and says, "I held Curtis down."
Yes, we're about at our half minute mark here. You're with Real Talk with the number one doctors, Dr. Harris and Dr. Kennedy. Dr. Harris out of Fresno, California, and Dr. Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia. We'd like to express to those who are listening to this show, look like we will be having another show hopefully tomorrow, and maybe some more shows next week if need be. This is a very serious topic here. Seeking justice is always very serious. As I tell people here in Fresno, don't be one of those who sit on the sideline and wait until it happened to you. You have an opportunity to get involved. You have an opportunity to donate, opportunity to sign a petition to try to help make change for the next seven generations of our children and our people. We would like for you to visit our Facebook, Dr. Gene Kennedy, also our Facebook, Floyd Harris, National Network in Action. Go to YouTube, type in Reverend Harris and Dr. Gene Kennedy, and see what pops up. A lot of good information, a lot of marches and different things we have done. But this is a very serious topic here that we're talking about. I spent a lot of time creating the content that's on the screen here. Please go to their website and go through the website and see what you can see there. Go to the Facebook and see what you can find there to support this family, to help policy change. And this is something that I want to have Dr. Gene Kennedy, who is an organizational psychologist. That is her expertise, is to go in and to different organizations and different businesses and nonprofits to go in and to, I would say, operate, to dissect, to find out where what needs to be changed, what needs to be tweaked here. She does a very good job at that. And as we go towards our half-minute mark again, I want her to chime in and give her expertise on the situation. We do have a caller that is at 8106. 8106, we'd like for you to hold on. Please don't hang up. You may be the next guest that Sister Patricia was telling us about. We'd like to get your input. We also have a caller at 2873. Maybe you're just there to listen. That's fine. No problem. Maybe you have something you want to say. That'll be great. And so, Dr. Gene Kennedy, as we go into our half-minute mark, we ask that those who are on the line, please don't hang up, because if you hang up, you cannot call back in after the half-minute mark. But please stay on. We're going to go to 8:45 tonight, Pacific time, and 11:45, which would be Eastern time. Dr. Kennedy, can you kind of talk from listening to the mother, the daughter, and our good brother here, just what he has just said about what his organization is doing for us, trying to get information, to review information, how serious that is, and what is your perspective on what you've heard so far?
Well, I think it's a good thing to have the victim witness group support our sister here, and I'm glad that you've partnered together with this brother in unison to support you, because in a time like this, somebody might say, well, this was 18 years ago. 18 years to a family that is experiencing a crisis is like yesterday. That doesn't go away. That is a mother who birthed her child, like anybody else who wants to see the best for their children. And when your child is mysteriously taken away from you, of course you want answers. Of course you want to know what took place. And when you are under the impression that something doesn't seem to add up, the dots are not adding up, that, of course, creates a suspicion. And that is the reason why this family has taken on the motto that says, no closure for me, no justice for Curtis. No closure for me, no justice for Curtis. And that is a strong slogan right there to maintain that. That is the motivation. They want answers, and they're going to get answers. And then for those of you that might, our listening audience, that might say, well, isn't that a little bit overly ambitious to try and change laws? We can't change laws. We don't work as senators or assembly people or congressional people. Isn't that a politician's role or those who lobby? Well, it may be so, but you know what? We, the people, are the ones that's voted individuals in. We're the ones who pays for their salaries. These days, you wouldn't believe it, the way they're acting and carrying on. But at the end of the day, that is what the Constitution was written about. We, the people, have put them in place. And this family is not doing anything any different than other families who have experienced tragedies. We see laws that were written, the Megan Law, a crisis that happened with that child, a Jessica Law, another crisis to that family, and even a father, Mike Reynolds, the three strikes law. And there's many, many, many others. And so, again, I tip my hat to this family that even while they're in pain, they can think about trying to change a law, make a law possible so that you a 30 days notice is not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable to get an answer, to get the investigation, to get the facts about the situation, to look at all of the things that's presenting itself and to ask those who do this investigation work to do a thorough job and a proper job and have answers for the family. They will not rest until they get an answer. And indeed, we do need policy to change so that we can move forward with our lives. Again, I tip my hat to this family who is, even at this time, no matter what the stages of grief that they've gone through, there is still that heaviness because we want answers. There is a missing piece in this jigsaw puzzle, and they want answers on this. Let me ask someone from the family to let the audience know how do you deal with this situation? What is it that you are doing to maintain your spirits, to maintain your focus, to maintain your strength? What are some things that you have done and are doing at this point? Because there may be another family that's out there, that, and I hope that they hear this show and may say, hey, we have a story to tell as well. We need to get our voices out. And we want to give you permission, by the way, to take a copy of this recording of the show and to put it on your own Facebook, to put it on your website, and to push this out, because we live in a time now where social network is the number one thing. And so take advantage of this opportunity so that people can hear your story and move and support you in this. So someone in the family, share with us what you are feeling even at this moment so that we can understand the deepness of what this crisis has done for your family. Maybe mom can talk about that, Sister Patricia, as a mother.
Yes, it destroyed my family. My daughter was sent to my mom. My other daughter, she was going through her things. And our family just now this year, after 18 years, it was 17 years, did a candlelight visual. When I moved to Jacksonville, is when I got the support and acknowledged there's a cold case. Now my son is in the cold case file. It's just he's been acknowledged. We've been on the news, Channel 4 News. They have a link to our website. They are helping and being supportive. Third 47 News, we have a link to them. And it's just been overwhelming support. I'm talking about a battle that I've been fighting for 18 years. And I've been here for four, and it's just, as soon as I called them and told them a little bit about it, they came out that same day. They said, well, can we be out there at 3? Mm. And this is something that I have been fighting in San Diego, and I still, after being on the news here, I called them back, Channel 10. I'm like, okay, well, I've been on the news. Can't y'all print that there? So it still have not been acknowledged. The thing to keep us together is God.
Mm.
That's the end. That's the bottom line, is God. You got to keep your faith in God so you can never give up. That is a battle that can't be won on its own because there's too much in the street that'll take you out. So you have to keep your faith, find a church home, get into God, get that godly love, and, you know, get that, just keep fighting, keep calling the police, keep calling the detectives. I know they ain't telling you nothing, but keep calling them. Don't give up. Wherever level you at the time of your child death, and if you're going through this, this is what this show is about. Call us. Let us know. Let us know what we can help you with. You know, it's closure is a process. Like Jen was saying, closure is a process, and there's so many steps. But you can't do none of them without God. And this is how this family have made it through.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Dr. Kennedy, one of the things I want to say before we bring in the other caller, I'm glad you asked that question, Dr. Kennedy, because I think that's very vital and very important for the listening audience to know what is keeping this family together? What is that niche? What is that master link? We know that on a chain, on a bike, there's a master link. That link is what keeps it together. And so the mother has told us it's God. And so we want that to go across the radio land, if you believe or not. This is what she said, what keeps them together. But, Dr., before I go into the next caller, 8106, we have about 8 minutes left. It's interesting to me, Dr. Kennedy, that this family comes from California and the San Diego area, which we know is a very military-based type area of the military, and there's a lot of money flow. They have an NFL team there, San Diego Chargers and what have you, right on the border of Mexico. So we know that it's a big, high-fluence area of economics there. But what's interesting to me is that she had to travel clear across the country to Florida, Jackson, Florida, I believe that's where she said they're at now, and then tell a news TV station there about something that happened in California, the only way that they're getting publicity out in Florida, which happened in California. So it takes me, why is it that California is not concerned about justice, but yet they can move from California to Florida, but yet Florida says, you know, you sound like you got a story here. So I'm not understanding why is it that California is supposed to be so liberal and blah, 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 but yet when injustice happens to black people, black young men, no one gives two dead flies about that. So I'm having a hard time really understanding why is it that this mother and family would have to go to Florida to get some media attention on something that happened in California. We're going to go call it 8106. 8106, welcome to Real Talk with the number one doctors, Dr. Harris and Dr. Gene Kennedy. Do you have a statement, comment, or are you just listening tonight?
I'm just listening. That's my aunt, Patricia, and my cousin, Shanika, and I'm just here for moral support. I've been praying. When it happened to my cousin, me and my cousin, we were 5 years apart. So when it happened, it was just tragic. I was angry with God because, you know, at the time I was just like, God, why would you allow that to him? He was a baby. That was my, you know, I remember him being in diapers and holding my little cousin. And I was angry with God. But God, in that process, and when I prayed that to the Lord, he assured me, you know, he just let me know that, you know, tragic happens, but God is a healer. You know, he's a consoler. So what I've been doing, you know, when Ann had first put it out, so far as when she first started off with everything, it first started off with the petition and to go to the site where you can sign a petition. So that's what I could do. You know, I live in Akron, Ohio, so what I could do is sign a petition, you know. How I feel with any woman or mother that lost a child, there's not much you can say but pray for them. So that's what I do for my aunt. I pray. I just say I pray for you. You know, I don't have to, you know, God knows. So I believe that as a family, we can't go by speculation, just as the doctor said earlier about, well, why would she wait this long or whatever. You can't go by speculation. It's basically God's timing, you know. And sometimes we scratch our head at his timing. But when it's God's timing, the doors just keep opening and opening. I'm like, wow. Every time my aunt keeps sending me a text, and it's like another door is open, another door. So God's timing is just awesome. So that's all I have to say. I was going to be quiet, but I got put on blast, so...
I'm good at doing that. Especially at church, I put folks on blast. I'm preaching and you sleeping, huh? Oh, okay, all right, okay, man. But Dr. Kennedy, we have about 5 minutes left. I really want to get back in, but thank the family member for calling in from Ohio. Please keep pushing this movement here. I want to say that Fannie Lou Hamer said, "I'm tired of being sick and tired." When you're tired of being sick and tired is when you move into action. You move into direct action. And that is what this family is doing. They're in direct action mode right now. But, Dr. Kennedy, I'm having a hard time processing this here. I need you to put on your organizational psychologist hat and explain to me how is it that a murder happens in San Diego And so that wait a minute. That brings me back to Black Lives Matter. Yeah. So
oh, wait,
Black
you
Lives
see,
Matter.
It took it
don't
right
matter
out of my
in California, but it matters, but it matters in Florida. So Dr. Kennedy, please talk to me and help me understand this right now. I'm shaking right now. I'm shaking.
Well, this is the reason why we're going to have a follow-up show, because we can't get into this in the short minute. But I'm so glad that you mentioned about Black Lives Matter, because as I'm listening to this, our country seems to be struggling with that right now. They're saying, well, if Black Lives Matter, don't you really mean all lives matter? Of course we do mean all lives matter. But we in this culture have created a hierarchy. We have on this food chain as from top to bottom, and somewhere on the bottom is where black lives tend to always fall. We're saying let's turn that pyramid upside down and let's look at it the other way around. Let's look at this paradigm differently. Black lives matter, therefore we should not have to wait to get an answer about our children. Even in school today, we've heard of cases where a child has misbehaved or has gotten involved with the law, and the law is there investigating and intimidating and investigating this child and interrogating this child, and the parents are not there, and they're getting information out of this child that they will then use later on to incriminate the child. So we have a system that has double standards, and we need to make sure this when the system harms us, that there is justice. I am so pleased to hear that this family is taking this matter through the federal courts and taking this on at a much higher level. Forget the state laws sometimes. They seem to be so petty. If you can get justice there, go. But don't stop there. Sometimes we have to take these things all the way to the very top so that the Supreme Courts are hearing this, and so that the injustice that is being done, the human rights injustice, the civil rights injustice, taking a life, we still need to understand, and this family needs to understand where are the missing links in this. And we're going to get into more details. We're just giving you just a little bird's eye view, just the overall we've given you, just a little introduction as to what happened. But we're going to go into details about what happened. What are the missing pieces that this family is seeing? Why is it that it does not add up for them? That is what we're going to be focusing on when we ask them to come back again. Tell us what those missing pieces are and why you cannot get any rest, why you won't let it go. Why do you think there's something that's missing and you want answers on that? That's what we're going to be looking for in our next show. But yes, I want to end this by saying Black Lives does matter. When you hear this all the time, think about that, that this life of this child, of this young man who had his future ahead of him, has been snuffed out, and snuffed out without a reason, snuffed out without the proper investigation, snuffed out without any kind of an explanation that this parent, this family needs. Black life does matter, ladies and gentlemen. Black life does matter, and we're going to make sure that that message gets across loud and clear in this country. And so, Reverend Harris, let me turn over to you, because I know we're coming down on that clock, it just makes me aware that Black life does matter.
I just got one question for you, Dr. Kennedy. Thank everyone for calling in. We'll be here tomorrow at 8 o'clock sharp, chopping it up again, dissecting this issue here. What does Bob Marley tell us, Dr. Kennedy?
Bob Marley says, one love. We have got to do this kind of heavy lifting with a spirit of love. If we do not, it will crush us. So one love is what our brother says. One love, brothers and sisters. One love.
I really love that.